This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Lang Elliott joins me on the phone. He's the author of many books and CD packages, the owner and creator of Nature Sound Studio. His new book, The Songs of Insects. Good afternoon, Lang.
Hey there, Coy.
How are you today?
I'm very good.
Where exactly are you?
Right now?
Yeah.
I'm in Columbia, Missouri, at my sister's house.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
A beautiful book.
Thank you.
I don't really know where to start. I tell you, I think when I was a kid, I was really into bugs, but I just didn't have a science mind to take entomology seriously as a career. But last week, we were on the program, speaking on the program here with one of the agents from our extension office about the caterpillars that are just now beginning to the eastern caterpillar beginning to wrap itself in its chrysalis, and it's going to be I think a brown moth is what, but they're everywhere. The tent caterpillars.
The tent caterpillars.
Yeah.
That the cuckoos like.
Oh, is that what?
Yeah, because they feed on the tent caterpillars. So sometimes you have a flush of yellow-billed cuckoos or black-billed cuckoos when you have a lot of tent caterpillars.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Now, because you've also done many books about birds as well, not just insects.
Yeah, I'm a nature sound expert. I would say I'm not an entomologist by any means. I'm interested in nature sounds. I've done books on birds and things on frogs and toads. I'm working on a frog and toad book actually now.
Cool.
a co-author that's here in Columbia, Missouri. And then we did, but we just recently, Will Hirschberger and I did The Songs of Insects, and we love it, too, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Lang, give folks an idea of what they can expect when they go out and buy this book. What is it?
Well, what it is it makes sense out of the chorus of insect sounds that you hear in the North Temperate Zone in from midsummer into autumn until you get cold frost that kills the bugs. These are the songs of crickets, katydids, and cicadas, and also longhorn grasshoppers, shorthorn grasshoppers, also known as locusts. And the book covers 77 species altogether, and most of all the common stuff you're likely to hear. Actually, like for Virginia, about everything you're most likely to hear when you go out at that time of year and hear the insects singing day or night are probably covered in the book.
And there's also a CD.
Yeah, a compact disc. That's actually the point of the book, is so people can hear the songs. It's about the songs, and the CD is an integral part of it.
Well, let's start listening to some of this some of this music. We'll start with one of the concertos at the back, and there's also a separate CD that we want to let folks know about. That's just nothing but concertos.
Yeah.
What you might hear, sort of nature sounds in different parts of America.
Yeah.
And there's also a companion website, which is?
Songsofinsects.com.
Songs of Insects.
It's mostly up. You definitely can go there and learn a lot right now, but we're still working on it.
Let's take the listeners to a swampy, forested area in North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
Lang, what are we listening to?
Well, it's a mixture of sounds, actually. There are several different insects. There's what we think is southeastern field cricket in that chorus, and then another ground cricket. Actually, that recording contains a few mystery sounds. It was recorded by my friend Ted Mack, and we were unable. It's from the Pungo National Wildlife Refuge in Virginia. And so there's a couple of species we're not totally sure of the identification. But there's a ground cricket that is giving little short repeated trills, and then there's the continuous trilling of a tree cricket. There's carpenter frogs that come in every now and then. There's a distant screech owl that you have to sort of like listen carefully for. We consider it one of our most relaxing choruses. It's included on the CD that you can order separately, and it's the last track on the CD, so you could just relax to that for about 15 minutes and fall asleep.
Or longer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm one of those people that really likes those nature sounds. It's just beautiful. It really is. Let's tease out some of these sounds and listen to a few crickets. And then we'll talk about them. But let's listen to a few first. Here is, you were just talking about the southeastern field cricket.
Yep.
Here's and what's so fascinating, before I play them, what I think is so fascinating is we call them crickets.
Yeah.
But they sound so very different. It's like saying
different from
each other.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, some sound similar to one another and others are quite unique.
Yeah. I mean, it's like we call them people. And yet every time each of them opens their mouths, they all sound different.
That's right.
Let's listen to the southeastern field cricket.
Mm-hmm. At the right recording?
I believe it is. Hold on just a minute.
Back two.
Yep. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the... No, this is a shrubby clearing in upstate New York.
Yeah, that's the chorus at the end, the goldenrod meadow.
Yeah, sorry about that. Here's the southeastern field cricket.
It's just a continuous melodic trill.
And explain this to us. How is he making this sound again?
Well, like all the crickets and katydids, they make these sounds with their wings. They're mechanical sounds. And the four wings are modified near their base. One wing has a structure called a file, and the other wing has a structure called the scraper. And the file and scraper are rubbed against one another. And as like you would maybe pull your finger or your fingernail across the teeth of a comb and makes a sound. And then that is resonates with membranes on the wing, and the sounds can be very musical, or they can be dissonant and non-musical. It depends on the species. In the case of a lot of crickets, most of the crickets actually have a musicality to the song, like a pretty little note that's repeated very rapidly, like in this case, or little spurts of notes that you would call chirps, but they are being produced by the wings.
Let's listen to an eastern striped cricket.
Yeah.
Very different.
That's very different. That's almost a little buzz. It's actually a very rapid little trill, and when a trill is rapid, it sounds like a buzz to our ears.
And, of course, these are all insects that we could hear right here in central Virginia.
Yeah, most of these. Certainly, the eastern striped cricket definitely ranges. You're at the northern end of the range.
Here is a Carolina ground cricket.
Oh, yes.
Now, that's what I hear sitting on my deck at night.
Yeah, they really love to sing from wet areas under the leaves or in a moist ditch, sometimes just under rocks or stones around your house. And they have a very rapid trill that tinges upon being a buzz. It's not one of the particularly musical. If you slowed it down, it would be very musical, actually. It's just that the individual notes, each of which is musical, when they occur very rapidly, it sounds like a buzz.
We're talking with Lang Elliott about his new book, The Songs of Insects. One more ground cricket. This is Allard's ground cricket.
Uh-huh. That's one of my favorite. Very pretty.
And so different from from the Carolina cricket.
Oh, yeah. The Carolina is like a rapid version of the Allards. If you sped the Allards up, it would turn into a buzz. There's another ground cricket called the Tinkling.
That's amazing.
That goes even slower than the Allards.
Wow. Now, let's talk the nuts and bolts. Mm-hmm. How do you get all these sounds from all of these, this CD, this book has nearly 80 different insects.
Yes.
How did you do this?
Well, we traveled all around. Our goal was to get all of the most common things you're likely to hear in the eastern half of the United States and also southern Canada. I live in Ithaca, New York. My co-author, Will Hirschberger, lives in West Virginia, fairly near to Hagerstown, Maryland. So I would go visit him. I recorded around Ithaca. We recorded down around his place. We drove all the way westward to Missouri, southward all the way down to Florida, north into Canada. So we were just all over the place doing trips over a number of years. We started this project around year 2000.
Wow.
7 years later, the book finally came out.
Let's listen to one cricket here, the northern mole cricket, which I thought was fascinating because when you listen to it, it doesn't really sound like a cricket. It sounds like a frog.
It's actually the lowest pitch of all the singing insects.
This is a cricket.
Yes.
Wow.
And you know, it does sound like a frog. It's its lowest pitch of all our native singing insects, not the world over, but at least in eastern North America. They sing from a burrow. They're burrowing cricket.
Really?
Yeah.
And okay, let's talk about the katydids. But first, I got to ask you where the name comes from.
Well, the name actually refers primarily to the common true katydid, formerly called the northern true katydid, that some people think sounds like it's saying, "Katydid, katydid, do you want to play that one?" It is track number 43.
Well, I'm actually not working off of the CD.
Oh, you're not.
I'm working off of something I copied, but here is the short wing, I think it's a meadow katydid.
Oh, yeah, that's a different group. And that's sort of a bad one to play over the radio. Explain why. Are you playing it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it may not come through too well, and I have trouble hearing it, actually. But a number of the meadow katydids sing extremely high-pitched songs. And so if you can hear the short-winged meadow katydid, you have very good hearing.
Here is a woodland or a straight-laced? I'm not quite sure. Let's hear this one. Yeah, another katydid.
Uh-huh. That, I think, is the straight lamb.
Talk about, you write in your book about the fact that as we get older,
yes,
the human ear can hear less insects.
Of the high pitches, yeah. The lowest pitch insect is the northern mole cricket. It's about 2,000 cycles, but then it jumps up. The tree crickets started around 3,000, and then there's the majority of the insects are above 4,000 cycles, going all the way up to the upper limit of human hearing to 20,000 cycles and even higher. So as we get older, we start losing our higher pitches, or most of us do. And unfortunately, a number of these insects, especially the high-pitched meadow katydids, will no longer be able to hear them.
Here's another example of a meadow katydid, the agile meadow katydid. Mm-hmm. So you're saying as we get older, we won't be able to hear these?
Well, it all depends.
Yeah.
You know, if you're lucky, you might maintain your hearing, or you'll be able to hear them when you're very close to them.
Is a katydid a grasshopper? I've always been confused about
well,
that.
Well, sort of. The common names, it just all depends on who you talk to as to what to call, you know, what. So we decided to help the definitions by not calling the katydids grasshoppers, but some people would call them longhorned grasshoppers.
Is it a regional thing? Like
yeah,
soda versus
regional,
pop
and,
versus
and
Coke?
Depends on what country you're in or which biologist you talk to. And we've sort of centered upon the nomenclature, the naming system adopted by a guy, Tom Walker, down at the University of Florida. He has a nice website called Singing Insects of North America. He's a scientist that's devoted a good part of his professional life to studying the songs of crickets and katydids.
We're talking with Lang Elliott. His new book, The Songs of Insects, it comes with a CD that you can listen to him. And the pictures, we haven't talked about that, but
no.
How in the world do you get these close-up pictures of these insects in their native habitat? They're just beautiful.
Well, it was a lot of hard work, and I have to say a number of the pictures aren't really in their native habitat. Certain insects allow you to approach them and photograph them. And in those cases, we got pictures of the insect outdoors singing or, you know, in its totally natural form. In many other cases, if you try to approach one, it just does something simple. It'll either fly away or hop away, or it'll move around to the other side of a stem or a leaf and hide from you. So a number of the pictures in the book, they are very natural. They're on natural vegetation, but we did take a number of the pictures indoors. And what we would do is for instance, I would go out to a goldenrod meadow, looking around on the goldenrods, and I find something like a broad-winged bush katydid sitting on top of a goldenrod. But he won't let me get close because he wants to fly away or he wants to, you know, go around to the other side of it. But it's fairly easy to collect some of these things. So I would collect one up, put it in a little cage, and then take it indoors along with some stems of goldenrod and some other vegetation from that habitat. And then you put it in a vase so that it looks natural, and you put the insect on that, and it'll go around to the other side and hide just as usual, or try to jump off of it. But if it's on a lazy Susan, you can turn it. So you turn it, and you just keep doing this, and really that's the way a number of the photographs on vegetation, you know, I hope that doesn't upset anyone, but they are natural, and usually there are many shots of quite happy insects, like busily eating pollen from a flower or whatever, and then in all cases we released the insects back into the wild.
Before I let you go, we're up against a break here, but mm-hmm. before I let you go, I want to play what is to me the very true sound of summer. Of course, this is a cicada.
Uh-huh.
And this, explain the difference between these, the cicadas that come out every year, and then there's ones that, what, every 17 years?
Well, yeah, they're 17 or 13. What you played was the 17-year periodical cicada, which in Virginia you had a big emergence in 2004. And wherever they emerge, they make a lot of headlines. But most of our cicadas are referred to as annual cicadas, and what that means is that every year adults of that species will be heard in the wild. They'll be... The mature nymphs will be emerging, shedding their skins and becoming adults, and will breed and sing.
And here's some right now. These are some of the annual cicadas in our area.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that sounds like summer to me.
Right. That's a real summery sound, yeah.
Lang Elliott, he's the author of The Songs of Insects, includes a CD. Lang, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Okay,
a beautiful book.
It was a lot of fun.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at seavillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show can be heard every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 o'clock on News Radio 1070 WINA. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at SeavillePodcast.com. If you enjoyed the show, why not check out our site for hours and hours of archives of Coy's show? You'll also find other radio programs, arts features, public affairs coverage, and more.